Well, it's a real pleasure to be talking with the leader of the Democratic Alliance Caucus in Johannesburg, Belinda Kaiser Ekyonzongjoku. Did I get your surname kind of
well done.
Vaguely right, Belinda?
Well done. You've done quite well.
I've been trying to practice on that one, but I guess that's we've got really serious things to talk about. The Johannesburg that has been under a lot of pressure has now got a new, potentially a new watershed. Belinda will update us. It's actually not a very good description there to use the word watershed, because watershedding is something that I guess the residents of Joburg are, certainly when we lived there, it was something that was quite real from time to time. But the big thing is you brought earlier this week, you and you had Solly Msinga, the DA's provincial leader, together giving a true state of the city of Johannesburg. I read through what you had to say, and I think it should be required reading for anyone with any interest in Johannesburg and exactly what's going on there. But if you were to give a semigrant like myself, we left 2.5 years ago after decades in the city that we loved so much, a quick update, a nutshell update of what's happened in the last 2.5 years, what would it be?
Thank you so much, Alec. The unfortunate part is I wish I could give you good news and I wish I could give you some sort of encouragement. The reality is that the city is in a state of collapse. People are months intermittently without water. If you go into the CBD, it feels like you're in a war zone, basically. And the unfortunate part is we've seen no accountability from the city executive and, the current administration. And I'm going to focus on the last, from 9 months ago when this mayor was elected. And we've also tried to have some engagements with him because we do our oversights as the DA independently and raise issues with him. Unfortunately, Joburg has gotten completely worse. Traffic lights are also not working. Monies are ballooning. Loans are being taken out. We've seen reports where capital expenditure are being used for issues like salaries and things like that and away from service delivery. So it feels like we're in a war zone and residents are not getting what they are paying for. And that is a big concern. Unfortunately, we've seen that I've read a report somewhere where the property prices are now at an all-time low, 2007 prices, whether that's accurate or not. But I wouldn't differ too much because as somebody who owned property, I've also battled to sell some of the properties that we have, and things like that. So it's a very difficult place to be in. And it's one of the reasons why we continuously try to engage with the administration of the day.
But you have brought a motion of no confidence in the mayor. Now, these are serious matters. Give us the numbers. Have you got the numbers to actually get rid of this mayor who has certainly not, by any accounts, amongst the people I know, he certainly hasn't turned anything around since he's come into office.
Let me just say, that it's not an easy thing to bring a motion of no confidence. You know, ideally, what we would have preferred in Johannesburg is that the council get dissolved because we feel there's no accountability and no willingness to account. But the unfortunate part is for a dissolution of council, you need 2/3 of the council members, not those present. The reason why we brought a motion of no confidence is at least it's a majority present and we can do, then it can go through. Yesterday, it took us a few days to deliberate on it as the DA caucus. Because we've considered some of these concerns, the numbers, instability, and all those kind of things. Yesterday, when we had just mentioned it, we were shocked that we were approached by people, councillors who are in the government of local unity at the moment, who have approached us to say, wow, we didn't know the DA will bring it, but thank God you brought it, because we're stuck in this coalition and we are not even sure, we're not being consulted and things like that. And obviously, they've asked on condition of anonymity. And there are also whispers of ANC councillors that if this is a secret ballot, that definitely they will be voting against their own mayor. So we are quite confident that people are so tired of having to answer to residents for things that they are not really in control of as ordinary councillors, that they would be willing to take that risk and give the DA the numbers.
You said secret ballot. How confident are you that it will be a secret ballot? In other words, that they can vote their conscience?
Well, we'll request it, the secret ballot. At this point, we submitted it to the Speaker's office. It still has to go through the programming committee. And then, obviously, we'll request for the secret ballot. It is entirely, unfortunately, at the Speaker's discretion according to Structures Act and the rules of council. So we're hoping to appeal to them also then when we speak in that programming committee that they would allow a secret ballot. And then we'll see what happens from there then.
All right. Well, the rational mind says it's just about impossible that you're going to get that secret ballot. We've just seen in Germany, for instance, for the first time ever, some of the party members of the new chancellor voted against him in the first round. And it's not just in South Africa, interestingly enough, where people within parties are saying, I'm going to go a different way. But to do that secretly or to do that in public, I guess, is something different. But the state of Joburg, from many friends that I have who live there, and business associates, just appears to be now beyond the pale. And if you are a politician, you've got to be fearing for your future if you are continuing to support this municipality. And I guess that might be one of the big pluses in your favor. But tell us, Belinda, why did you guys start off in the DA, first of all, saying we got to dissolve the council? And you've been working at that for a long time. It hasn't happened. And if you like, is this the second tactic almost to try and get the place sorted before next year's, or to try and do something before you presumably would expect to win the next municipal election?
You're spot on, Alec. We tried with the dissolution of council, because ideally, once the council is dissolved, if it were to have succeeded, residents who voted in councillors into the municipality would have a second choice, a second option, to then vote for a different outcome. That was the initial, to give the power back to the people. Unfortunately, because of this, the system we are in and the numbers in council, and also the coalition dynamics of people, and I call it voting with their stomachs, in council, is that we knew that the current crop that is in council, we've tried it. It didn't work. This is the second option for us to try and get the municipality right and to get people to vote with their conscience and actually get things right. And one of the major things, Alec, is the fact that we have seen over the past, I can call it 2 months, that the mayor has made some very interesting decisions that we believe could even open the city to serious litigation, not only from residents or from political parties in council, but also to staff members that could take the city to court. And some of these can be easily remedied if they would listen and engage, if he, as the executive mayor and the shareholder in some of the entities that we are talking about, and I'll get into that if you give me an opportunity, that he has, if he has the ability to engage and not be arrogant about just being rogue and continuing doing what he's doing, we wouldn't be in a position where we would need to bring a motion of no confidence. And I can tell you, we've tried, we've called, we've sent WhatsApps, We have sent letters to him that are simply being ignored. And we're saying that if you're going to ignore the biggest, the second largest party in the council, whether we are in the coalition or not, we represent quite a number of Johannesburg residents. And residents are asking, what are we doing? And this is a second option for us. It's not ideally it would have been to give the power back to the people. But if that failed, since that now had failed, this is the second option for us.
How confident are you, given that it's likely to be an open a vote, that you can pull this across, you can get this across the line? In other words, why are you only bringing it now?
If we don't bring it now, Alec, 2026, we might not have any city left to govern. And that is the basis of us coming at it now. We've looked at even the presidential working group that has now been brought in. Firstly, the mayor has not even made an effort to bring to council the terms of reference of that presidential working group, because Johannesburg is not under administration, as far as we know, unless it is, and nobody has told councillors. He has worked on a turnaround strategy that he said submitted yesterday, and we believe it's just a publicity stunt. He submitted it yesterday to the president directly. But we are not even seeing what is in this turnaround strategy. And it's possible that it's only for the G20. So we're saying if we don't take action now, how many more decisions are going to be taken before 2026 that is going to plunge the city into more chaos and is going to cost the residents, the ratepayers, more money? Last week, we had to note loans that the mayor, loan reports that the mayor has brought into council 22 hours prior with information that we believe it's not complete, because we had so many questions about where's this document coming from, what does this mean, and saying it's for noting 22 hours prior. These are decisions that residents are going to pay interest on, and they are not seeing the service delivery on the ground. And we're saying if these kind of decisions are continuing until 2026 or prior to 2026, we are not going to have a city left that residents can actually call home and seeing what they are paying for, at least a little bit, seeing a little bit of what they're paying for. And that is why we brought it at this time.
Okay. There are, I suppose, a cynical approach would be to say, well, let it collapse and then the DA will have a landslide victory come the local election. But I think you've explained that that it's probably got as, it's gone far enough to give you a landslide at the next election anyway. But Belinda, just to go into a little bit more of the detail, interestingly, reading through your speech, which you delivered 2 days ago, where you explain that the property rates are going to go up by this administration by 4.6%, electricity nearly 12%, water 10%, and waste management 6.5%. Now, you are proposing zero in all of those. It's not difficult to argue why there should be no increase in the rates, because there has to be a concurrent application of a lower value of the market value of the homes at the same time. So it's really, the whole thing is just wonky from an economic point of view. But how do you believe that you can get to a point where you don't have to increase any of this and still keep the city at least running?
Let me just start by saying we believe that there should be more invested in infrastructure, the water, the roads, and things like that, before we even get to the property rates. Now, the Minister of Water and Sanitation, a few months back, the Deputy Minister said that municipalities do not have a problem of lack of water. They have a problem of bursts and leaks, and they don't know. The minister mentioned that, I think it's a deputy minister, we don't know why municipalities do not apply for the water infrastructure grant. Now, we're saying as the DA that if there's a water infrastructure grant, why have the city not applied for those kind of things? I know it's conditional, but it's you don't need to pay a grant back. You just need to prove that you used it for what it's meant to be and then account properly. And that is what this administration has failed to account to you, to me and to residents of Johannesburg. There's also the city, the JPC, who has a immovable asset portfolio of 28,000 properties. It could be a bit more, but that is what we've seen on the reports. And some of those are left empty, are left to decay, are left unoccupied, and some of it are left to be illegally occupied. They are not maintaining it and things like that. And we're saying, instead of holding on to properties or assets that you know you probably don't have the capacity or ability to maintain it or the funds to maintain it, auction some of these off and redirect that money towards infrastructure, towards the pothole war that the mayor is talking about, for example, and you unlock some of that money, give it to the private sector, and you can raise capital through that. And the city hasn't utilized any of its property portfolio to at least raise funds and create an environment for businesses to come in and do things better in the city and stay in the city so we can ultimately get the right. So if these kind of decisions are systematically made one by one, you would get to a point where the city you would have a fully funded budget at some point. It won't be easy, but it will be systematic steps. You don't allow grants to go back to National Treasury. For example, this week, I read somewhere that Reavaya, 300 million, because that report hasn't even come to council. 300 million rand has been returned back to Treasury. And we're saying these are grants that you could use to improve service delivery in the city. Then you don't have to increase the tariffs for some time. Or if you do have to, you do it very minimal. So those are it's the decisions in the political world to do systematic things, to do what is right for the residents, and then you don't have to burden the residents much more.
Our governing is not the spectacular. It's often just putting one foot in step in front of the other, like businesses as well. You've got to have the right people who are prepared to actually knuckle down. But there are a couple of things just to close off with, and I would urge people from Johannesburg to go and read your speech. It's on the DA website where you do you articulate lots of ways that you can turn things around. But there are really two things I just want to close off with. You did mention that there's problems with potholes. Now, I recall during the time that I lived in Joburg, as I say, very happily, and I feel very fond about the place, as any ex-Joburg does, I do remember that there was a big initiative from the private sector, Discovery Insure, were involved there to a large degree. I think Outsurance were also in filling potholes. What's happened to that? Have they been overwhelmed, or have they removed themselves from that initiative?
It seems that they are overwhelmed, because we see them doing some of it still, the potholes. There was a time also the executive mayor and the MMC of Transport had mentioned an arrangement with business where they're also going to utilize the private sector to keep the traffic lights on. So those public-private partnerships seems to have just fizzled away, because it starts with a bang. And also, if you want to bring the private sector on board, and I firmly believe this, probably because I've also been in business for in my previous life, that you got to bring people, you got to take people from the beginning and carry them along, not when things are already at the stage where it's so difficult to even for them to cope with some of the things, the basics that the city needs to do, at least to create it a little bit of environment for them to just come in and assist. The problem with the city is they start with a bang and they don't keep those relationships going. And if there's any memorandum of understanding that are signed, they don't stick to those memorandum of understanding as well. And also politics. It's politics and it's a possible corruption as well, where some of the private sector are not willing to participate or be conduits to be used for politicians to enrich themselves. I'm not saying I have proof of some of these, but these are some of the concerns that are brought by business sometimes to me. And I sometimes wonder why business would come to me, business people would come to me as the opposition instead of talking to the executive mayor and things like that. So these are some of the concerns that are brought. So they start with a bang. They leave things to dilapidate. They don't continue. They don't keep the relationship going. And they also don't keep their end of the bargain. And that's one of the reasons why some of these things don't happen and don't happen consistently.
So you've got a great sense of humor. You know, why are they coming to me, not going to the mayor? But the other point is, what about outsurance? We see the traffic lights. I'm being sent videos and speaking to friends who say it's so clear what's happening now. The vagrants have taken over from outsurance or from the Joburg municipality. And the traffic lights, first of all, they're broken, and then they are intentionally broken because it's a source of income for vagrants who are directing traffic. It just seems like there's no appreciation for the situation that the city's getting itself into. But what about outsurance? They were doing an incredible job when I lived in Joburg on putting points people there to direct the traffic. Are they still doing that, or again, are they just getting overwhelmed?
It looks like they're being overwhelmed. Surprisingly, yesterday the mayor didn't mention anything in his previous, his previous discussions and addresses. Even when he was the MMC of finance, he mentioned outsurance. And this time yesterday he did not, which gave me a bit of an indication that we don't know if that relationship is still there, because the unfortunate part, Alec, in Johannesburg is that councillors get half of the reports. And this is one of the issues we raised, and I will raise in the debate today. We get half of the reports and we don't know if the reports are doctored before it comes to council to make it look as if it's not so bad. And these are some of the things that outsurance, what is the relationship? Is it still there? What other public-private partnerships are there? And how have the city harnessed it? Those are some of the issues that are questioned and it's still not clearly answered and things like that. Alec, if you just allow me, please. One of the biggest concerns that we have raised is the fact that we had an infrastructure protection unit, and that is this, you know, street lights, the all the infrastructure protection units. The city also said that they had cameras that they had paid for. There's about five. Every mayor has been talking about cameras, except the mayor yesterday. And we've asked the mayor separately, not in public, what happened to the infrastructure protection unit? Why are we using homeless people? Why are homeless people directing traffic? Why is the infrastructure protection unit not reinstated? And it worked with different sphere of governments and some experts to ensure that, at least with technology as well, to ensure that the infrastructure is protected. So we don't have a situation where we have to worry about even going to external parties like outsurance. It would be a last resort if we have to do that, because if the city doesn't protect its own infrastructure, putting money at it and not protecting its own infrastructure, we're going to have a vicious cycle, and it's what we're having currently in Johannesburg. So with regards to the relationship of outsurance, I cannot tell you whether it is still happening, because yesterday the mayor had not mentioned it. And in our reports, it has not been clear whether it is still in existence at all.
Well, I can assure you that our team will be getting onto OUTsurance and Discovery Insure and getting feedback from their side. And the other thing, it's really disingenuous if anyone looks at the traffic lights that have been sawed down, sawed off in essence, and then realize that if there was an infrastructure protection unit, that at least stopped the guy from sawing halfway through. You can't just do that 100%. In an instant. Certainly not a homeless guy who wouldn't have a power tool, you would imagine. Belinda, thank you for sharing your insights with us today. I'm Belinda Kaiser Etchionzongjoku is the leader of the opposition in the DA caucus and the caucus leader of the Democratic Alliance in the Johannesburg municipality. And I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.